All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, March 4th of 2025, and looking ahead here, we have a 7-game NBA main slate tonight, as well as a 10-game NHL slate, so it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the Saber Sim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual support channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right, let's get SaberSim up, and we will jump into questions. We have two questions today to get us started. First one is a quick one, and then we will knock out the second, probably just see where we go from there. So first question today, how do I get my lineups to you to review, and do you adjust your min uniques in your late swap build? All right, so first part on the build review process, two ways to do that. Number one, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Let me know what date, sport, and slate you want me to review, or you could post that same information, date, sport, slate, in Office Hours, and if you post it in one of those two places, email or Office Hours, I will add you to the list for the next show, which will be this Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Second part of the question, do you adjust your min uniques in your late swap build? I would say if you are adjusting them pre-build, then you should continue to do so in the post-build, right? So this one comes up often. Let's pull up our late swap tutorial here. It's like the best way to view this. So we're in late swap, right? And we'll skip toward the end. All right, so late swap is going to look like this, right? Where you have your projection table, and then you have your autofill looking section, right? This is what it looks like by default. And then you have your min uniques column, right? This is where you adjust the min uniques for your contest. You can adjust all of the contests simultaneously by clicking the gear icon, or you could do it individually on a per contest basis. So what I recommend in general, okay, is if you are on the ultimate subscription, use the aggregate metrics as an idea of what min uniques are good, right? And the way you would do that is you would change your uniques, you would click apply, and then you would see how your aggregate metrics change, and then you would figure out what numbers you want to settle on, right? You could use your pre-slate build as a baseline. So like say, you know, you do the method that I always talk about where like you scale your uniques, right? So like, let's say we used 3 for 150, 4 for 20 max, and then 5 for like 3 max or something like that. You can start with that, click apply, see how the metrics change. And normally I have a rule where it's like, if I'm doing bad, like if my metrics, if applying uniques is, and I already have a low ROI, I will just work backwards. So like say I had 3, 4, 5, like I told you, right? Well, let's say I save it. My median destination ROI ends up being, you know, negative 20. Well, okay, I'm actually going to come down, right? I'm actually going to go from 3, 4, 5, maybe to 2, 3, 4, maybe to 1, 2, 3, right? I'm trying to get ROI back. Now, inversely, right? If you're having a good day and you set your uniques, your ROI is high, well, maybe you'd go a little bit further, right? Maybe you get some additional diversification. Basically, the number of uniques you want to use is always going to depend on how you're doing in the contest to that point and how changing the uniques affects your expected ROIs and things like that, right? So there's never like a right answer, but you can always probably start with the numbers that you had previously. Now, this is another question that's been coming up a little bit that I've been seeing around where people are saying, hey, you know, I'm carrying over my build settings in the dropdown, and my uniques aren't carrying over. So just to be clear, uniques do not carry over, okay? So everything that does get carried over is in the projection table. So rules, filters, min and max exposure, min and max salary adjustments, min and max exposure adjustments, any players you've unchecked, right? All of this projection table gets carried over from build one to swap one. Your uniques do not get carried over. So in your initial late swap, you're always going to have to reset the uniques. Now, however, if you use the same late swap build for multiple swap windows by using the rebuild swaps button, that will keep the uniques for future swaps. Okay. So if you're here and you're like, hey, I'm going to refresh my projections and then I'm going to use the rebuild swaps button, this is still the same build workspace. So even the data in the lineups tab remains as is. Okay. So just to be clear, there is no way to carry over uniques from build to swap workspaces. However, if you use the same swap workspace, then I would, then you can expect the uniques to remain for future swaps. And then good follow-up here. What if you have the pro subscription? So I was talking about like ultimate using ROI, right? I would use the same aggregate metrics that we talk about, like using projection, right? Don't sacrifice too much projection. So, you know, anytime I'm doing like a Saber score type of demo, I always have my average projection aggregate metric. You know, if you set that up and then you set your uniques and then you see that, hey, you know, if I go one unique higher, I drop 4 points projection. You know, you probably don't want to do that, right? But you could work backwards. You can go, okay, well, honestly, what you could do is you could start back at one, right? You could start at one, apply, see how your projection, your baseline projection is, and then keep changing it, right? Go to two, see how my projection is. Go to three, see how my projection is. So the point is to never sacrifice too much of any of the aggregate metrics you're using. I like to stick with either projection or ROI, and then those are usually pretty good indicators from what I've seen in contest flashback, reviewing lineups all the time, is that there's usually some projection floor, and then if you know, you're maintaining good ROIs as well. So those are the key things that I'm usually focusing on aggregate metric wise. Another follow-up kind of related to this question, Jimmy said, should I keep the same uniques from build one with the swaps? I would say that you can use that as your baseline, right? So if you used, you know, 2, 3, 4, something like that, come in and set your 2, 3, 4s, apply it. Because remember, as the games lock, your uniqueness, your diversification is effectively getting locked into your lineups. So it's going to be really easy to maintain the same amount of uniques because those lineups were optimized, you know, to have so many uniques earlier in the slate, right? It might not happen like on like the first swap, you know, if like only like one game started, maybe you don't have that much exposure to that game, but in general, I would say you can use the same one as your baseline, or you could just start the whole process over, right? You could start at one, adjust your unique, save them, check metrics, check exposure, check leverage. The important thing, right, is if you're using direct fill in your build one, and then you go to your swap, and now you're using the autofill technology, always, always apply or save the lineups and then review the exposures, right? So you have to apply the changes or save the lineups, and then the exposures are going to adjust for anything that you've done, and then you review it, okay? So it's always review last, and then analyze, and then readjust, resave, reanalyze. So the process is just slightly different between autofill and direct. So just always remember that small difference. All right. Good one there. Next question. I have a quick question about after running a late swap build, NBA DFS, do you recommend adding an ownership filter? Second question, if a player has 80 to 90% exposure, do you recommend capping the exposure, or should we just go with the exposures from the late swap build? All right, so another late swap question. We're just going to stay here. So two questions in one. The first one is, do I recommend adding an ownership filter? I would say no, and the reason for that is because, you know, what is the point, in my opinion, of adding an ownership filter, right? Well, maybe you're trying to guard against duplication or something like that, right? Well, what I would do is go and look at similarly sized NBA slates. You know, it's a 7-game NBA main slate. So go look at other 7-game slates and look at the highest sim ROI lineups and see how often they're duplicated, right? And if, you know, you're seeing 0, 1, 2 dupes, well, then that kind of tells you, hey, you don't really need to worry about duplication too much. So I wouldn't recommend using it, right? I always say, like, don't adjust for duplication until it smacks you in the face. Now, if that's not why you're using the ownership filter, if you're using it for some other reason, you know, you saw some data that, you know, 30% of winning lineups are within this ownership range. We don't really recommend following like statistics like that, because, you know, each slate is a little bit different, and trying to, you know, fit some of these rules into a slate that, you know, ownerships are different, values are different, salaries are different, projections are different from all those other ones makes it, in our opinion, not an effective rule. All right. Second part was, if a player is coming in at 80 to 90% exposure, do you recommend capping the exposure, or should we just go with the exposures from the late swap build? Good question. So it's going to depend on your risk tolerance, right? And it's also going to depend on the player's ownership. You know, if you have a player who's 60% owned coming in at 80, 90% ownership, well, you actually don't have that much leverage on the player, right? But if this player is, you know, 10% owned and they're coming in 80, 90%, well, now you have a lot of leverage. And what I would do in that case is, you know, the little exercise that I like to do of like, does this make sense? Why is this happening? You know, and really one of the best ways to do that is just go in and sort by value and then see, you know, hey, why is this player popping up so much? Or why is that player popping up so much? You know, if we go back to yesterday, right, and we go to the NBA main slate, and we look at a team, you know, we go in and sort by value. It's like, okay, hey, look at some of these ownerships for these guys on Houston, you know, 9 value. Wow. 7 value. You know, you look at these guys, you're like, okay, this is the make sense part. Okay. We see the value. Why is this happening? Then we go to Houston, sort by projection, scroll down here, and like, almost their entire starting five is out. Dylan Brooks, Amen Thompson, Fred VanVleet, Sengun, Tari Eason, right? The only regular starter that they had was Jalen Green, right? Like, he's like one of their regular starters. And then a bunch of low salary guys either starting or coming off the bench with all these other players out. You know what I mean? Like, 80% exposure to Cam Whitmore is 2x the field, you know, but 80% exposure to Jabari Smith Jr., yeah, 4% is a big difference, right? So the exposures, you know, always go by the leverage column. Like, I think that's super important to understand how much exposure you have compared to the field. And then if it feels like too much, right? Some people might see 80, 90% and they're like, great, you know, let's roll with it. Some people might see 80, 90% and they're like, you know, it makes me feel uncomfortable. So you always want to play a set of lineups where you feel comfortable with the risk profile of the lineups, right? So important to remember that. And if it feels like too much ownership for you, then do something about it, right? Go in and lower it. That's okay. All right, next question. Wondering if you can explain a process for building both GPPs and single entry lineups for the same NBA slate. Ideally, I would like to keep the lineups for the single entry duplicated after updating / rebuilding. Okay, so there's a couple of different ways you could do this, okay? We recommend doing all of your lineups together, okay? We don't recommend having like one process for single entries and then one process for MME. We kind of always group them together, right? It's also going to depend what plan you're on. So like if you're on Ultimate, right, and you're using, you know, the autofill technology, well, when you go to fill, we're going to sort each contest by that specific contest's ROI. So when you go to the MME, you know, it's sorting by the MME ROIs. When you go to the single entry, it's sorting by the single entry ROIs. Now, if that's not what you're doing, right, I think it's important, and we'll just run a build here, to set your Saber scores appropriately in your late swaps, right? So let's imagine you're using autofill and you are on starter plan, right? What do you do for your rank buys? Well, you use the number of entries that each contest has, right? So like what I would do is I would go to the contest tab and then I would go to this entrance column and then I would see, you know, I'd basically write all these down, right? So it's like, okay, I'm playing in the 50 cent mini max, which has 59,000 entries, but I'm also playing, you know, in the $5 single entry that has 2,378. Like, how would I set those up? Right. So basically in your autofill, you go to the rank by column and then you use the large slate 50K plus for the mini max. And then you go to the single entry and then you go to your Saber score and you use the large slate 1K to 10K. Right. So you're using the specific Saber score based on the entry size for the contest in question, right? So that's how I would set those up. But as far as a process, we recommend building them all together just because news breaks so late and it's hard to do separate late swap builds. But we don't think that you need to do anything special for your single entries. And you should almost approach your single entries as a portfolio of single entries, right? I'm not just playing, you know, $100 single entry. I'm playing the $1 single entry, the $1 three max, you know, the $5 single entry, maybe the $12 single entry, right? And, you know, now your single entries in three max, maybe you have 10 of them total. And now they kind of just fit in with the rest of your entries for the slate. And then second part here, I do want to touch on this. I would like to keep the lineups for the single entries duplicated after updating slash rebuilding. So if you are entering, and I'm just interpreting the question this way, like one lineup into multiple single entry contests, okay? If this is what you're doing, you're saying, hey, you know, in late swap, I want to maintain the same lineup in all of the single entries that I'm playing. When you go to late swap, turn on this group duplicates toggle. Basically, what will happen is if a lineup is recognized as being in more than one contest, we will only swap the lineup one time, and then we will apply that one lineup to all the contests it's in. So if you have a lineup in five contests, you use group duplicates, we're going to put the same swapped lineup into all five contests, okay? So use that group duplicates to keep a lineup in more than one contest in late swap. All right, good stuff there. Jimmy said, to be honest, if I use three uniques on original build, I never paid attention to uniques with my swaps. Yeah, I would just keep it, right? You got to go reset it to three, but after you do that, it you shouldn't have any issue continuing to use three. All right, is negative leverage good or bad? So it describes, the way I like to think about it, like the easiest way, is who you are rooting for and who you are rooting against, okay? So what leverage is, it is exposure minus ownership, okay? So for instance, I have 90% exposure here to Jarrett Allen. He is expected to be owned in 25% of lineups in the contest. So if I have, on average, you know, way more lineups in my lineups than the field does, then I'm rooting for this player to do good. Because when he does good, more of my lineups are still live and less of the field's lineups are still live, right? Like 90% of my portfolio is advancing while only 25% of the field's portfolio is advancing. So if I had 100 lineups, you know, 90% of my lineups are moving closer to winning first, and only 25% of other players' lineups are moving closer to first. That would be positive leverage. That is a good thing, right? So your positive leverage plays are the players you're rooting for, the stands you're taking. And then the negative leverage plays are the players you are rooting against. You are underweight on these players compared to the other users in the contest. So here, Franz Wagner, 23% owned. We have him in one lineup for 5%. So our leverage is negative 18. So when he does good, the field's lineups advance, you know, 25% about, but only 5% of our lineups, you know, continue to, you know, move closer to first place, right? That's not good for us. We want him to do bad because it will tank more of the field's lineups and tank less of our lineups. So negative leverage, people you're rooting against; positive leverage, people you are rooting for. Higo said, thanks. I saw group duplicates in late swap, but not before. Yeah, it is a newer thing. I don't know, probably like last couple months. And it's directly for that purpose. So you should not have the ability. You would always get a unique lineup in late swap before, but now you do get separate lineups, or you can maintain the same lineup in multiple contests. So that is new. All right. Good stuff there. Caught up with questions in both office hours and Discord, or office hours channel in Discord and YouTube chat so far. So why don't we do a build demo here? So let's say that, you know, I'm building lineups for today, March 4th, 7-game NBA main slate, right? Just going to open up a new build and start fresh. Now in the build, one, I would always build the max number of lineups you can. I like to increase minimum salary slightly here. And then I like to put on a very small filter. You know, this is my projection greater than zero, or I've done 10 in the past, but I don't see that one here. So we probably deleted it at some point, but my projection greater than zero is fine. And then I'd be ready to go, right? Going to build some lineups while this is running. I can go over to the contest tab, upload an entry file. So that would just, you know, create some lineups here that you, or create some contests that you see here. That way the builder knows what I'm playing today. Then I go back to my build. Lineups are finishing up right now. And we'll do a quick hard refresh here. All right. So I'm going to run my contest sim, going to sort by exposure, move some columns around a little bit, and then just get ready for this. So I got my exposure, my leverage, my pool. These are just things I like to see here. We're going to wait for the contest sim to finish. We have my average projection aggregate metric. Once the contest sim finishes, I'm going to go create an average contest ROI one. And then I'm going to sort by the specific contest ROI. If you have an entries file uploaded, you don't need to do that. But I don't, so I have to here. Now, I'm about ready to rock and roll, right? Sorting correctly, average projection, average ROI, sorting by exposure. I got my leverage. And these are all the things I want to see, right? These are all the things I'm using to make decisions about my lineups. So first thing I want to do, get some diversification. So I'm going to use the mini-uniques, go from 1 to 2. And I'm noting how these things change, right? Your aggregate metrics at 1 are like your baseline, 268.1 projection, 192 ROI. And then I'm going to start seeing how they adjust as I increase, right? So at 3 uniques, my ROI has gone down 10%, and my projection's gone down a little over a point here. I'm going to go one more. 4 is good too. Let's try 5. 5 goes down a little bit more, you know, around 5, right? I'm starting to analyze this and say, hey, you know, my metrics are changing, you know, a lot. I need to stop and I need to analyze my exposures and my leverages and see, should I keep going or should I stay where I'm at? So my biggest stands, Zach Collins, Josh Giddey, so a couple Chicago players. We have one stand on Cam Johnson at low ownership here, but he's in a large amount of lineups in the pool. So that's a good indication, right, that he's a good play. Same for Collins. Giddey's about neutral here, but he seems fine. So overall, I like the stance that SaberSim's taking. These guys are showing up in lineups across my entire set of lineups. and not just the top 20. And I'd be okay with this, right? If you wanted to, you can go into Chicago and be like, okay, hey, you know, is anybody really out here? Why am I getting, you know, so many players? And like, maybe it's because Vucevic is out. Maybe it's because Dosunmu is, I'm assuming, done for the year here. Patrick Williams, right? Some players there, but I think this is like the same lineup that they've been running for like a couple days now. But this is also a high total game. You know, Cavs 128, Chicago 116. This looks like the highest total game of the day. The only one close is like Milwaukee, Atlanta. So maybe we think it's going to be kind of a shootout, right? Maybe we think Chicago is going to hang in there a good amount of the time, right? So there can be a number of reasons, but overall I'm happy with the exposures and leverages that I'm seeing. And I'd be ready to save these lineups and upload them to my contest. So if you're building NBA lineups for today, that is a process that I would be following. But looks like we're caught up here. YouTube chat, Discord, knocked out a slate demo. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.